since then, God has set me free from all of my addictions. Currently, I'm serving with the Levites ministry, and I'm also serving with the prison ministry. I really enjoy growing deeper into the Lord with our men's ministry on Saturday mornings. Right now, I just want to take this privilege and this honor to introduce a group of people that is very, very special to me. I'd like to introduce my loving wife, Nohe Alani, of 30 years. My daughter, Kamiley. My daughter, Keanani. My son, Vaikani. And my baby, Laakea. If God can change me, He can change you. Thank you and mahalo.
Thank you. Would you say thank you, Meliana? That girl can sing. Whoa. But it's that message. Every single one of us can change. And that's what God came to do. Well, happy Easter. If you're here and if this is your first time and you've been invited by a friend, we want to say welcome. And if this is your first time and you were dragged here by a friend, or your life was threatened by your wife, welcome. The main thing is, you're here. That's the main thing. But you know, it's because you've been ultimately invited here by God Himself. Because you know what? Easter is an invitation-only event. That's right. The Bible says in John chapter 6, no man can come unto me unless the Father invites him. So if you're here, you are by invitation by God Himself. And you say, well, Wayne, does that mean others have not been invited? No. See, the Bible says, whosoever will may come. So then why aren't they here? Well, maybe some of them rejected the invitation. One decision can spell the difference between an eternity with Christ or not. One decision. And today at the end of this message, I want to give you an opportunity, if you've never made that decision, to make it, to say yes to Jesus Christ, because that one decision can determine your eternity. We want to talk about the power of one. We've all seen that, where one person can make a difference. Abraham Lincoln or Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela. You think one life can really make a difference. Or one word, the word forgive, accepted, you passed, you're hired. Or if you're going for a cancer scan, it's negative. One word can change everything about you. If you're trying to do a marriage proposal to a girlfriend, one word can change your life. Yes, the other one will also change your life. No. One word. Or a name. One name that someone gives you. Maybe a name someone calls you, how it can debilitate your motivation. How names mean so much. I tell this famous story, and I just love the story. Now, if you're one of the veterans here at New Hope, this is not for you, it's for the new people. But if you're old, then you don't have a good memory anyway, so you need to hear it again. But this little young Indian boy came to his dad and said, Dad, how do we get our names? How do you choose names? And the brave said, well, as soon as you're born, I leave the teepee, and the first thing I see is your name. Like your sister, falling rain. Your brother, running deer. Why do you ask, pooping dog? Names are important. It says something about you. Now, I'm going to give you a test to see. And I checked out the top 10 names that couples give to one another in affection. And so, you know, they don't call, you know, Anna. Yes, Wayne. How are you doing, Anna? Fine, Wayne. No, we call each other certain pet names. Now, if this is the name that you call your spouse or your loved one, I want you to just kind of raise your hand, all right? And it could be two or three of these names. So here they go. Are you ready? All right. Here's the first one of the top 10 names in our country that couples will call one another. And if this is you, raise your hand. All right, here it is. Babe. Okay, yeah, good. Honey or hun. Okay, all right. Sugar. Raise your hand. Yeah. Okay. Angel. Okay, a few angels in here, not many. Yeah. It's all right, this is church. This is where you need to be if you're not an angel. Darling. Okay, all right, good. Sweetheart. Oh, good. Doll. Okay. Hunk. Okay. Honey, raise your hand. There you go. That's what I call her. Now, if I didn't mention the pet name that you have for one another, it's probably because it shouldn't be mentioned in church. So But it can backfire. It can backfire. I heard this story of this. They were coming back from couples conference, you know, all these couples. And this group were having lunch together. And they're kind of doing a one-upsmanship. So this one couple in the corner, the lady says, "Could you pass the sugar?" He says, "Yes, sweetie." Oh, the other couple, ooh. And then another couple looks at one another. "Could you pass the honey? Oh, well, Mary, who's down there next to Manel, says, "Manel, you better say something nice. They said something nice. You better say something nice. What are you going to say? Come on." He think for a while. He said, "Could you pass the Kahlua pig?" It can backfire, these names. They can backfire. Names can be given to you by parents or friends. But the most important name of all is what God calls you. The most important name. And sometimes at an early stage, you'll struggle with that. Some of you, God is calling to be His child. Even now, God is speaking your name because He wants to write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you've said no to Him. And at first, when God calls you His own or His beloved, it's hard, struggle a little bit. You kind of wiggle a little bit when God, you know God's calling your name. But it's right. It's the best thing for you. I remember I was struggling with something that God had told me to do. I was headed home one Sunday after church, and I was just starving because I hadn't eaten for a while. I was just starving, and I wanted to get home before my three kids ate all the food. So I'm jetting home, and I don't realize how fast I'm traveling until I see blue lights flashing behind me, and they're getting closer and closer. And so I thought, oh no. So I pull over. Now I'm already hungry. And now this inconvenience is going to make me later yet. And I could see all my kids eating the food up. I'd have nothing left. So now I'm going to experience death by starvation. But I pull over as a good citizen, but I'm mad. And I look over on the passenger seat where my Bible was. And I thought, oh no. And I throw a magazine over it just to kind of hide it a little bit. And the officer comes up and says, "Excuse me, do you know how fast you were going?" And as innocently as Mary's little lamb, I said, "No." He said, "You were going 78 miles an hour. I said, "78, maybe 58, maybe 59, but not 78. He said, "I got you on my radar." I said, "Have you recalibrated your radar lately?" I actually said that. I said, "Have you recalibrated this lately?" He said, "Yeah, it's right. It's fine." I said, "I don't think so." I was just kind of mad, you know? And then he said, unimpressed with my knowledge of radar technology, he said, "Could I see your license, please?" So I gruffly hand him my license. And he looks at it and he says, "Name?" Tells the name, my name. Says, "Is this address correct?" And he reads off the address. "Yeah." And he says, "Occupation." "Excuse me," he said, "occupation." "Pastor." He said, "Excuse me?" I said, "Pastor." He said, "No way. Are you Pastor Wayne Cordero?" He said, "This is too much. I was just listening to you on the radio." He said, "This is a true story." He said, "I got to call my wife. I got to tell her. This is too much." I said, "Please don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody." But you know, sometimes with that name, that calling, pastor, or whatever name God speaks to you, sometimes you're not real comfortable with it at first. Especially if God is calling you to Himself. But those names are so important. You can have hateful names put onto you. I remember the time I felt the worst. It was after I'd left Hawaii. We went to Japan for a while, and then we moved to the mainland. I was in a school, it was a middle school, and there were just all Caucasian kids there. And I was speaking pidgin, that's all I knew, And I heard some of the kids laughing. And I turned around and I said, "What?" And one of the kids looked at me and said, "Hey, we already won the war. Go back to Japan." And I thought, oh. You know, it's funny. Even though you know that you're Japanese, it's just the way that it's said. It just debilitates your spirit. You ever felt like that? You ever feel like you're just, there's a sign hanging on you that just says, "Damaged goods"? Maybe it has nothing to do with you. Or maybe it does. Decisions that you've made and you have to live with now. You just don't know what to do. You know, God is famous for healing hearts and changing names. He did that with a man named Jacob. He said, "Jacob, you know what that means? It actually means crafty thief. But I'm going to change your name. Your name shall be Israel, Prince of God, one who's striven with God and is one." Another man, Simon. Simon Bar-Jonah. You know what that means? Simon means a little pebble rolling that you slide on, lose your balance on. Your name, Simon Bar-Jonah? "I'm going to change your name," Jesus said. "Your name shall be Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church." God is famous for that. Changing names, giving you a name that fits and more applies to His value for you. I want to give you three names that God uses in the Bible for you. And you that are here, one of these names belong to you. The first is, would you write down in your notes there, number one, the word "sought out." Sought out. What a precious name. Sought out. Isaiah 62 and verse 12. Would you read it with me out of your notes? Go. "And they will call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you will be called sought out, a city not forsaken." Well, there's going to be times in your life that you're going to feel forgotten. But God is saying, you're not forgotten. You're actually sought out. You see, in front of every single one of us is a window that we look through, almost like this big sign, but it's made out of just glass. And everywhere you turn, you look through this glass. You can call it a belief window if you want to. And on the outside, there's times where people will write in grease pencil, "You're an idiot. Oh, you're stupid. Oh, you're no good. You're a waste. Look what you did." And everywhere you look, those words are in front of you. Now, you can't control all the time the words that people write on the outside, but you can control what you yourself write on the inside. "I am an idiot, aren't I? I am a waste. I am damaged goods. What happened to my life? The mistake I made with that guy. I am damaged goods." And you see, the outside will change. The inside, you have to be responsible for. And when God comes, He begins to wash you from, not the outside, because people are going to write stuff on the outside, doesn't matter. But He begins the change by washing the insides. And then He puts His name for you on the inside. So it doesn't matter what people write on the outside. He says, "Remember, Wayne, you're someone sought out." But what about what He said? "You are someone I have sought out." I think one of my favorite scriptures is John 15, 16 that says, "When you didn't choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain." And you can say the same thing. You put your name, Steve, Bill, Glenn, John, Sally, Sarah, Kayla. "You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit. And I'm going to clean you from the inside out." His name is Jesus. What if, you know, every Thursday, you know, the people come and would take away our rubbish. And what if they came every Thursday? You'd be thankful. They came every Thursday and without fail, take away your rubbish. That's great. But you know what? When that rubbish man takes my rubbish away every Thursday, I'm so happy, but I still don't know his name. But he's been real faithful to take away my rubbish. What if, though, not only did he take away your rubbish can, because you got stinky stuff, fish head, guts, all kinds of stuff from fishing in there and stinks. He's so faithful to take away the rubbish every Thursday. But what if he didn't only just take away the rubbish every Thursday? He came, took your rubbish away, and then washed your rubbish can with soap. Would that be cool or what? You'd kind of want to get to know his name, wouldn't you? Let me say this even more. What if he didn't just take away your rubbish every Thursday? What if he then washed out your rubbish can and then filled it with money and food, our two favorite things? Now, you'd want to get to know his name, wouldn't you? But the Bible says that's exactly what Jesus does. When our life is filled with opala and we've scratched on the insides, I am damaged goods. The Lord comes and he takes away the rubbish and he washes our hearts and he fills our lives with good things. And then he writes a new name, the Bible says. Your name is sought out. Not just okay. Not just acceptable. No. We would even settle for a word like that. The Lord says, you're going to be someone who is sought out. Recently, we had an all-night prayer meeting, and we take all the stacks of prayer requests, and we divvy them out, and there's about maybe 300, 200 people, 150 that were praying. And so everyone got a stack. And I got this one stack. And it just broke my heart. It said, my family is broken. My parents don't know what to do with me. My marriage is going down. I just lost my job. I don't have any hope left. Will you pray for me? And you know what was signed? He signed his name. Nobody. Nobody. You ever feel like a nobody? Yeah, we all know what that feels like. But God says, even though you might not be able to change with people right on the outside, I will give you a new name on the inside. And I start by washing the insides. And I write, sought out. You can be a Christian and feel like a nobody. But I want you to know today, this Easter, that God gives you a new name. And that new name is sought out. Now, some of you might be here and you say, hey, everything's going good for me. I mean, I've got affluence. I've got success. I've accumulated much. I've got money. The wind is at my back. Man, this is great. But let me ask you one thing. You're successful and things are going your way. So what's your next big plan? What's your next big move that's going to excite your soul and give your life meaning? Another house? Another pool? Another real estate win? Maybe, but will it excite your soul? Now, if another house is going to do that, be my guest. But I'd like to offer another suggestion. I'd like to offer another alternative, another option. What about a God-guided life? That's the name that God wants to give some of you. Would you write that in number two? God-guided. God-guided. What do you think about a God-guided life? Instead of rushing into another day, making quick decisions based on intuition and just business acumen, what about just pausing for a while and asking God? God, Is there anything that you want me to do today? Is there anyone that you want to bless through me? God, is there anyone that you want to reach out to through me today? Any life you want me to touch? And what about my family, God? Is there anything that you want to say to my wife, to my children? God, is there anything you want me to start thinking about? Or maybe stop thinking about? God Guided. What a wonderful name. God Guided. That's the name that I would like to have. God Guided. Sought out. God Guided. He wants to. Would you read with me the scripture under number 2? Would you read it out loud? Go. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but He will disclose to you what is to come. God Guided. You might be there in your life and think, I've got it all down pat. But if you look at it closely, you'll think, you know, what is it that's going to really stir my soul? Sometimes what we think we're accumulating, God says, that's nothing. That's not even important to me. In fact, the Bible says in Luke 16, sometimes what is highly esteemed in the sight of men is detestable in the sight of God. Because sometimes we sacrifice our family on the altar of success, and God says, what you got is a demotion to what you just sacrificed. That's what I gave my life for. There's a different scale of value, and God wants to have our name, God Guided, so that He can rebalance the value of scale, so that we'll understand what truly is valuable and what isn't. I remember hearing a story of this young entrepreneur. He left his home in Waimanalo, half Portuguese, and he went to the mainland to make his fortune. Well, he made all kinds of money. But in Waimanalo, he remembered how they were so poor. They used to collect eggs in the morning from their chickens, and they had to really scrimp and save. But now he's got it made. So he wanted to prove to his mother he had made it. Well, wanting to have his mother somehow keep her company in Waimanalo because it's empty nest now, he saw this parrot. Now, this parrot was being sold for $10,000 because the parrot could speak in 3 different languages, Portuguese, English, and pidgin. He thought, this is it. So he paid $10,000 and had this parrot sent to his mother in Waimanalo. 3 days later, he called his mother up. Ma, he said, did you enjoy the gift that I sent? His mother said, oh, yes, that thing was delicious. Different scale of value. And sometimes we think we're really impressing God. What do you think about that? God said, oh, that was delicious. God Guided. What about a God Guided life? What about making your life more meaningful? I think a God Guided life would do exactly that. God is seeking you out so that your name is sought out. God is calling you so that your new value would be a God Guided life. But here's a third name. A third name. And would you write in number 3 the word rescue? Rescue. There's some of you here that you understand what rescue is all about. I mean, we've seen it on the movie screen. Sometimes people are lost at sea and everyone stands around of the family hoping, listening to the radio, the UHF. Or a radio that they would get a CB signal from. And they're wondering, are they okay? Hoping and praying. And then the rescue. And the life-saving team reaches them just in time. And then there's the warm blankets and the cup of coffee. The SOS was heard. The emergency beacon was received. And they get to live another day. We think, wow. Some of you are here and you need a rescue. You need a rescue. You've given up all hope. You're like that one who signed nobody. Sometimes at sea, you just can't hold on anymore and you say, I'm done. And you know you're finished. You've given up all hope. And you've just said, well, with a sigh, I guess this is the life I'm going to live. But you hate it. And you're just about to let go. I'm done. I'm done in my marriage. I'm done with my health. I'm done with hope. I'm done with God. I'm done with my future. But God wants to change your name to rescued. You say, well, how? Another word. I was in Rome this last year, and we visited with some of the people in our church the Sistine Chapel. There on the ceiling was the famous painting of Michelangelo with God reaching down to Adam, or man, and man was reaching up. And I thought, that's it, isn't it, God? That's it. You said that you would rescue if we would reach. That's all. That's what God asks of us, to change our name and to change our eternity and to change our future, is reach. A line is thrown. A lifesaver is thrown. All you got to do is reach. And that's that last shred of hope that says, okay. And the Bible says this. Let's read what he says in Isaiah 59. Go. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor his ear so dull that it cannot hear. Yeah, don't ever worry. If you reach, God's arm is not too short to grab you. God's arm is not in any way truncated or impeded. His arm is not too short. All he says is reach. You say, man, I need a rescue right now. I really do. I have no idea how I'm going to get out of this. God says, that's fine, I do. If you'll reach, that's all I'm asking. Don't worry about his arm, it's not too short, but you got to reach. And that's what Easter is all about. That God came to rescue men and women who'll be willing to reach. Reach out to him and receive his power for a second chance. What's your name? Maybe today it's sought out. You're a Christian and you say, but I've messed my life up. I don't think God can forgive. I want you to know the Bible says the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth looking for those. He is seeking you out. Maybe your name today gets to be God-guided, so that your life will have meaning. But you won't just be doing things, shooting from the hip anymore. But you'll stop and say, God, would you guide me? Help there to be things that will stir my soul so that I'll make a difference and that I'll have the right priorities, that what I value is what you value and not the opposite. Or maybe your name is rescued today and you're here and you say, I need a rescue. And God says, and all you need to do is reach. He says it this way. If we confess our sins, he will be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have not chosen me as much as I have chosen you. If you're here on this Easter and you've never opened your heart to Jesus Christ, one decision can determine your future. One decision on God's part and one decision on your part. His decision was made 2,000 years ago on the cross. Your decision is now. And if you say, Lord, I need a rescue. I need a God-guided life. I need to have a relationship with you. I want to give you that opportunity. But you gotta reach. Would you bow your heads with me? You've been invited here because the Son of God has invited you. And He has a new future for you and a new hope. And He offers that, but you gotta reach. You gotta say yes. That one word that can change your eternity. When He says, will you follow me? Your response, all of heaven awaits that. And if you're here and you say, you know what? I don't know all there is to know about God, but I do know one thing. I need a new beginning. I need a second chance. I want my life to be significant and meaningful. I want to make sure that what I value is what God values. And I need forgiveness. I don't know all there is to know about God, but I do know that if He offers forgiveness, I'll take it. I need that. And I want to begin a relationship with God. That He would guide me. He would guide me into all truth. And that I will sense His embrace as someone He has sought out. I reach my hand so that I would be rescued. If you're here today and you say, Lord, will you see my heart? And would you begin with me? I want to open my heart and receive you as Lord and Savior. Right now, if that's you, would you reach up to Him with a hand and just say, Lord, that's me. Would you raise your hand? In doing so, you're saying yes. Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, go ahead, raise them up to the Lord. Let Him know. Okay, all right, you too. Yeah, in the back. And just hold them up for a second so I can see them. Okay, yeah, yeah, all right. Yep, you too, sister. You too, brother. Yeah, God sees that. All right, yep. The Lord sees that too. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You can put your hands down. If this is the first time you've received Christ, right outside you'll see ushers with a yes packet. People that have said yes to Christ. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. Please grab one of those. It'll help you immensely in your first few steps with Christ. If you're here and you say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but I tell you, I've made some decisions that I'm not happy about. I've turned my back on Christ and I've been running. But I want to be someone that has stopped running because I know that He is seeking me. He has sought me out. I am sought out. And because I know that I am stopping my run and I'm turning to Him. Lord, would you embrace me even as the prodigal son's father did? Lord, it's time to come home. If that's you, would you raise your hand? You're saying, yeah, it's time for me to come home. Yeah, okay, yeah, okay, yeah. The Lord welcomes you because your name is sought out. Sought out. He sees that and He welcomes you home. He welcomes you home. You may be here as a businessman and you say, Wayne, I want to have a God-guided life. That's for you. Take it. So that you'll begin to understand what true value is all about. And if that's your quest and you say, Lord, I want to move from success to significance. Lord, would you help me? Would you help me to be a steward of what you've given to me as gifts, abilities? Lord, I pledge my heart to be open to your guidance. If that's you, would you raise a hand? And you say, yep, Lord, that's me. Lord, I know my life is brief here and I don't want to miss what you have. Okay, yeah, yeah. Let's all pray this prayer together in closing. And if this is the first time you've prayed it, pray with all your heart. If this is the 50th time, let's all renew it. Renew our hearts to God by praying it with all our hearts. Let's pray this out loud. Would you pray this with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and died for my sins. That I might have life everlasting. Thank you for choosing me, for seeking me, for guiding me, for rescuing me. I give my life to you. I turn from my ways and I turn to you. And now I say this so everyone can hear me. So you can hear me. So I can hear myself. And so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I believe in Him. And I will continue to reach as you guide me into your best. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ for the first time on Easter. Wonderful applause. Tell them thank you for what a wonderful presentation. spectacular. What you saw today wasn't a performance. It was the story of the redeemed, the people of God whose lives have been transformed with celebration, with dance, with song, with testimony in message. And many of you have given your lives to Christ tonight. I tell you, that is the most eternal decision you will ever make in your lives. Congratulations to the many of you that said yes to Jesus Christ. When I was 19 years old, I made that decision. And I have one regret. The regret is, I wish I would have done it sooner. Because as I look back over the years, what God has done, it's been nothing short of just miraculous. His patient grace sustains us. And you will never regret saying yes to Jesus Christ. Now follow him as you continue to reach forward. Touch the hem of his garment. Follow him. He will guide you into all truth. Would you bow your heads with me as we conclude in prayer? Father, thank you so much for this wonderful church called the People of New Hope. That is the name that you gave to us. And we will write that on the inside, along with sought out, God guided, rescued, a people of new hope. Because there's going to be times on the outside people will write different things. It's on the inside that we will always be reminded of your heart for us. And we thank you, Father, for these many who have said yes to you today. Would you embrace them and guide them? Let them know how special they are. And we promise to give you the glory and all the praise as we see the miracles you will be doing in our lives. Thank you for this Easter that we get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the church says amen. Thank him again, would you, with a clap offering, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Christ the Lord.